1. If you are listening between 7 and 10 p.m. Pacific Time, you're tuned to Premiere 2. The Phil Hendry Show will begin 6 minutes past the hour.
And now, for something very, very wrong. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, good evening, and welcome to Harvey Wireman's Senior Chat here on the Phil Hendry program. Tonight, we're going to discuss on Senior Chat, why is it no one makes sense at the Department of Motor Vehicles? Go in there, it don't make any sense at all. They're blathering. You know what I mean? Pete Westcott is my announcer. Isn't that right, Pete?
I guess, right?
All right, well, you don't know. You're young. How old are you now? You're 50?
58.
58, well, you go into the Department of Motor Vehicles, and you don't even know what the hell. So, the person with the best reason why no one makes any sense at the Department of Motor Vehicles wins a vacation for two aboard the four-star cruise ship, the Madagascar. It goes to Ensenada, and then it comes back, and you just sit there, and you think you're at sea, but you're not. They tell you they visit 15 different ports of call, but it really barely leaves the dock, and we're so old we don't know the difference. All right, and now I'm gonna get a call here, and Hal. Hey, Hal, how you doing, old buddy?
Hey, Harvey, how you been?
I'm great. Didn't you call last week?
I call every week. I can get right through. You don't have any callers, so it's easy.
Okay, so what's the deal at the Department of Motor Vehicles? I can't understand it.
I don't know. I went in there the other day, and I said, I got to get a driver. She said, well, go over to window 3, and I went there, and she, then there's a big Mexican fellow, and of course, I'm not racialist or anything.
No, of course not.
No, but, and he said, well, he says, well, what do you, well, I said, well, I got to go, and he, and so they made me sit in a chair. No one makes any sense at all.
All right. Well, Hal, that's very good. You hold on the line, because that story is outstanding. Mary, hello, welcome to Senior Chat.
Oh, I've been waiting for this topic. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for this topic. This is a wonderful topic, Harvey. Thank goodness you're on the radio so we can talk about, I forgot what you were going to say about...
Why don't they make sense at the...
Oh, at the Department of... I went over there with my granddaughter to get my license because she drives me. I can't really drive, but I do want to have a driver's license to drive.
But it's dangerous for you to drive, correct?
Yes, of course it is.
Right, but you still want to have a driver's license. Why shouldn't you?
Exactly. So I said, and she said, read the chart. I can't read the chart. What does she mean? What chart was? And they never tell you what chart. Read the chart right there, or is it the chart of, there was one behind me. So I read, greetings from Governor Schwarzenegger, and she said, well, you don't, and she had the gall to say I didn't pass.
Well, that's just, see, that's what I'm talking about. They have no respect. Let's go to Sam. Hello, Sam. You're on Harvey Wireman's senior
chat.
Yes, thank you, Sam.
Yeah. I went over to the Department of Motor Vehicles because I wanted to get a motorcycle license, and they said, well, you got to go over here and talk to a man. And I went over to the man, and he gave me a ticket, and I sat down. I was there till 8, and the place was closed. I had to spend the night there, and when they opened up the next day, I was very hungry, and they said, what were you doing here overnight? I said, well, I was waiting to get a motorcycle license. They said, well, you're at Home Depot. And I wasn't able.
How do you like that? They tell you to go to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and you're sitting at Home Depot in the fertilizer section.
Exactly. I was there, and so I bought a riding lawnmower, and that's what I use to get around now.
Well, that's all right. So there are our story. You see, you people at the Department of Motor, forget it. I don't even know what they want me to do. I go, and then I went over there, and he said, go to window 4. I went over to window 8, naturally, and then the guy said, go to window 4, so I went to window 6.
Well, that's the whole problem.
And then he said, go to that man over there with the glasses, and I went to a redheaded woman, and they don't make any sense, and so I'm just going to drive without a license. I'm on my way to the farmer's market. You need anything?
No, just floor it.
Okay. Well, this is Harvey Wireman with Senior Chat. And I gotta go to the bathroom. Harvey Wireman Senior Chat, every weekday on this station.
There they are, Harvey Wireman Senior Chat. You know, I went over to the DMV today. Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. The DMV is our Department of Motor Vehicles in California. And took the driving test, bud.
Oh, yeah? How'd you do?
How did I do, bud? I got a 100% on the written driving test.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding, bud. I got 100%. You see, bud, I take driving on the roads of our wonderful country very seriously. And as such, I studied my driver's handbook, and I got a 100%.
You're kidding. You must have got three wrong or something.
No, I didn't, bud. I didn't get three wrong at all.
So I guess you think your stuff doesn't smell, huh?
You know, bud, to put it in your crude colloquial terms, yes, I do think my stuff still smells, but even you can't get me down because I'm feeling very good about getting a 100 on my test. And
where'd you hide a cheat sheet?
Didn't hide a cheat sheet, bud, and nothing you can say will get me angry. I'm feeling very good, bud, about getting a 100, and I even asked the lady, am I the first 100 today? And she said, yes, you're the first 100 person today.
Yeah, she's probably counting the hairs on your head, about 100 of them.
Nothing you can say, bud, nothing you can say is going to get me out of the very good mood that I have for getting 100 on my written test. And
What did you learn? Anything?
Yes, I did learn a lot of things, bud. I learned that, for instance, a light rail vehicle can... You asked me a question? Did you ask me a question?
Did you say something? Oh, it's the guy who got 100 on his test.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I got 100 on my written test, and I got my driver's license.
Did you have someone give you the answers via cell phone?
Nobody gave me the answers. Nobody...
Did you have a lifeline?
What do you mean a lifeline? I didn't have no lifeline. Nobody gave me the answers. Nothing, okay?
What about an electrical form of deception, such as a...
I didn't have anything, man.
A blueberry, a blackberry, a raspberry, anything?
What do you mean a raspberry?
Or a computer.
No, I didn't have any of that stuff, man.
I know. You called Regis Philbin, and he...
Get out of here. I got the test, and I got 100, and I got everything down, baby. Walked in there with loaded down with everything. I had my proof of insurance. I had the proof that I owned a car. I had the proof that I didn't own a car. I had the proof that I owned 15 cars. I had my old license, my new license, everything that they couldn't possibly say no to me, even though I still had to go home because I...
Did you flirt with the old bag behind the counter?
Why don't you shut up? And she wasn't an old bag. She was about, I don't know, 48.
Like I said, old bag.
1-800-449-8686. Bug off, bud. By the way, we went to Brian Glicklick's wedding on Sunday, yesterday, a very star-studded affair. You don't know who Brian Glicklick is, but he is the head of our computer, I guess, what do you call it, Chris? The MIS department here at Premier Radio Networks? Whatever that stands for, right? Master Cylinder, yeah, some kind of psychotic thing. Anyway, he's the head of the whole computer, and he got married yesterday to Lee, and it was a beautiful affair over there at the Sherwood Country Club, a star-studded affair. I mean, I walked in, there was Rush Limbaugh, and I saw Mr. Glenn Beck, and I saw Mr. Jim Rome there dancing a light samba with his wife, the very lovely Janet. And I saw also Mr. Bill Handel there with his lovely wife Marjorie. They were doing a small minuet. And the rabbi was a big, bald-headed, marvelous man, big, tall, bald-headed Englishman. Who was a big fan of my show, and we also got there was a great band there. Really sensational, and a whole lot of booze for a Jewish wedding. I'm just kidding around, come on. But there was. Had myself a Crown Royal and a couple of Heinekens. And very beautiful, and congratulations to Brian and his lovely wife Lee, and I hope that they have thousands and thousands of years of marital bliss. Really cool thing over there at the Sherwood Country Club. What a spread, man. You ever been over there? This place is like a multi-million dollar... I mean, well, that's where they have that Tiger shootout at a shark shoot, some kind of a deal. Tiger Woods, he has a big deal over there. And this is where Wayne Gretzky lives. All these guys live in this thing. And you walk in, and it's like one of those... What is it about country clubs where it has to look like the South, 1841? Like there's going to be some guy walking up with breech pants and, you know, a black guy wearing a kind of European garb going, I'll bring the carriage around right quick, massa. the big columns there. You wait for the ivy to be crawling up them. Vosifus, I'd like you to bring the carriage around. Make sure the mint juleps are cold, will you?
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we had our little seating card there. And you always make note, where are you sitting? Limbaugh, of course, was at table one, and he was with this chick who is an anchor on CNN. I'd love to tell you who she is, but I don't want to, you know.
Her initials are DK.
And I, very good-looking woman, and you could tell she was good-looking. She thought she was. And she spent a little bit of time talking to the Romes and then wouldn't have anything to do with Marie and I. But a lot of people came by and were very nice and said, hi, Phil, can I have my picture taken with you? And then I said, sure. And then they said, well, actually, we wanted it with Rush, but he's busy. So it was really kind of a fun evening to see a guy get married and then walk around holding. And then Rome and I got up and said a few things about Brian. He's a wonderful guy, and we hope that he's very, very happy. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, it's a little more interesting than your driving test.
Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Barry the Freak McMillan tonight, the most conservative talk show host in America. He's going to prove he's more conservative than Rush. We're also going to have tonight, for your entertainment, Bob Green, the grocer from Fraser Foods, to talk about why he's not selling, or he is actually, he's discouraging people from buying turkeys this year at his store. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
So the big talk of the sports world you probably heard was the brawl between the Pacers and Pistons. Actually, it wasn't between the Pacers and Pistons. It was between the Pacers and Detroit Piston fans on Friday night, when one fan tossed a cup of beer, and that seemed to ignite Steven Artest, and you know, got him a little bent out of shape. He went up into the stands and tried to perforate this guy's lung or something, and then it just turned into a melee as they were trying to get the players off the floor. They were being showered with popcorn, beer, etc. And I saw where David Stern did his little fine dance, saying that it's inexcusable and this and that and everything else. The whole thing was started by a fan. The whole thing was started by a fan throwing a cup of beer. Now, the fight on the floor is one thing. The players are fighting each other, and that will be dealt with by the league, by the referees, and so on and so forth. But what really brought this thing to the nation's attention in terms of the headline grabbing, and what eventually got everybody suspended for, I don't know, but it was an indefinite suspension, I think. I don't know how long that means. I guess it means indefinitely.
Good one.
Anyway, what got the whole thing going was a fan throwing a cup of beer. Now, what happened to him? The whole thing started because a drunk in Detroit, and you know how those two go together, threw a cup of beer. Artest was laying on the scorer's table. He was putting on a little bit of a show, kind of a, I don't care, I'm just going to go over here and take a nap kind of an act. And someone laid into him with a full monster cup, about $8 worth of watered-down beer there at the Auburn Hills Palace, where you can go and get yourself a nice big fat watered-down beer. God, thank God they water them down. What would have happened if they're serving you the full-on ice house stuff? See, the problem here are these juice hounds. They can't handle their liquor. The other thing is, you know, because of the increased communication, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we see images of all this stuff. You can't get away with anything anymore. Don't think for one minute this is new. It's been going on since sporting events have been going on. I mean, if you know anything about the history of sports, Lou Gehrig actually went up into the stands once and beat the crap out of some guy in a wheelchair, which is, seriously, he went after some guy with a club foot, or he went after Tiny Tim, something like that. Lou Gehrig is well known in history as one of the real curmudgeons of the game. Curmudgeon, I mean, he's just a violent man, violent temper, very, very much disliked by a great many people, including people in the establishment baseball. There have been guys who've gone into the stand. Hockey games, they go up to the stands all the time. The fact is, the players are provoked by the fans. Now, I don't care if a guy goes to the game and he doesn't like the fact that there's a guy there making millions of dollars and he doesn't. The fact that, and what is this thing anyway about how there's a ever-widening gap between fans and players because the players are making so much bread and the fans are having a, you know, scratch by? You got to be a multimillionaire to go to an NBA game. Are you kidding me? And where that guy came from like row 7, how much do you think those seats are worth? Don't give me that there's some kind of a large dichotomy of a sensibility between fans and players. The players are making so much bread and the fans are just scratching by trying to get their poor little Tiny Tim kids into the games. You got to be a multi-billionaire, man. Take a look at who sits courtside, Jack Nicholson. I ain't saying he's a billionaire, but that guy isn't exactly looking around for cigarette butts. Yeah, I think he does pretty good. Coming out of row 7? No. That guy's coming out of a seat that's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $5. And he's tossing a beer. Now, when are they going to start talking about that? I mean, I don't want to sound like a guy who's anti-fan, but frankly, I am in a lot of ways. I'm not pro-player, but I don't like listening to the same hogwash that keeps washing over us each year about the spoiled athletes this and the spoiled athletes that. I get it, man. They make a lot of money, okay? They go out there and they do what they do. They're paid the bread willingly by these teams. These owners are really a piece of work. These guys talking about how they're paying too much money in salary. These guys go out and they pay the money they want to pay. They can afford it. Don't worry about it. And if they can't afford it, then they're this guy, Donald Sterling, you know, who just sits there and goes on the cheap. And he still has got an NBA team, and people still go out and see the Clippers play, even though the guy's the cheapest guy that ever walked the face of the earth. I say cheap. What's he paying him? Like, his lowest paid guy's, what, $1 million? Now, these fans come out of the stands with their big cup of beer, toss it, and the next thing you know, it's sort of just, well, he got arrested maybe, or he lost his season tickets. But the real focus is on the players. Now, the players ought to know better than to go up into the stands, but the fans ought to know better than to throw beer. By God, if there's a standard that players have to meet, why can't fans meet a similar standard? Why isn't there some discussion and some emphasis on fan behavior? Why is it always about they're making so much money, they have to adhere to this standard? Whereas Joe Blow, coming out of Section 14 with a big cup of beer and a big gut hanging out, he doesn't have to do anything other than just be who he is, some sad sack slob who isn't making as much money as all the billionaire players, and so he sort of, we excuse his behavior. I don't excuse Jack. If the guy was sitting next to me, I'm not saying I'd do anything violent, but it's funny how you can get a chair right inside a guy's mouth and he doesn't know who threw it. I'm not saying I would have done anything myself, but it's funny what damage you can do with just a well-aimed comb. You know, if I'm sitting there with my kid, I've been to enough sporting events. I see how these people behave. All I want to do is just one day open up a newspaper and read about how fans who cry so much about the price of tickets, cry so much about the spoiled athletes, bellyache so much about the state of the game and the traditions are going away and it isn't the way it used to be and there's too much of this and too much of that. I, for once, like to see the fans held to some kind of a standard. Either that or don't sell any booze at these games. It's obvious these basketball fans can't hold their juice. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you can't hold a beer, man, if you can't have 4 beers and not turn into Genghis Khan, then perhaps you shouldn't be drinking. And maybe they had a cut. Why are they selling beer anyway? You know, most of these sporting events you bring children to. I mean, there's a good one-third of the crowd is probably under the age of 18. Why is there unlimited drinking around kids? If you want to make it an adults-only venue, that's fine. If you want to not sell beer, that's fine with me, too. I don't go to these games anyway, man. Can't afford it. Rather watch it on television. I don't want to have to get into it with some jackass sitting behind me who's using every profanity in the world, and I'm sitting there with my, like, 13-year-old daughter. Who needs it? You know what I'm saying? And the ball clubs, they don't do anything about it. The league isn't going to do anything about it. The league fines the players. And the fans love that, and they keep bellying up to the bar and getting hammered because they can't handle a watered-down $4 beer. And this is what we got, okay? So, screw you, David. Stern, that is. Not Hall. I'll be talking to him next. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hi, I'm Ted Williams Head, reminding you not to drink and drive this holiday season. Brought to you by Ted Williams Head.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
There's a few points that I've noticed that sort of bring to mind a little bit of just I'm confused as how you can think, first of all, that Condoleezza Rice is not a good role model for Black Americans. I think she's a great role
model
for women alone because she is a very well-educated, very well-spoken, incredibly intelligent woman. And I don't think that it matters what her sexuality is or is not. First of all, she always comes across as a classy lady.
Yeah, she does.
With a very, very high...
Why is she not out of the closet? Why is she not out of the closet? And why can't she just
Out
of the closet, and why can't she just go ahead and say...
Out of what closet? What does that have to... You're the one that's bringing up this
nonsense. I'm a black woman.
You're bringing up nonsense.
Are you black?
It doesn't matter if I'm black.
Well, I'm African American, and I'm speaking from some level of knowledge on being an African American female.
Level of knowledge?
I don't appreciate.
How old are you? I'm assuming you're about 55 years old.
I am in my mid-60s.
You're stuck in 1967.
No, I was actually a young girl. I'm stuck maybe in 1967. Well, you are a young woman who doesn't know history as well as the future.
Oh, I do then.
And
I understand reverse discrimination.
I understand. She's like that flying Air Force One. She's a little stiff.
To Richmond, Virginia.
I think she's a little stiff, don't you think?
I was a Southern girl.
Don't you think Condoleezza Rice a little stiff and have the buck teeth?
No, I don't. I think she's very intelligent.
And what about
the
teeth?
She commands. She has a commanding presence.
I want to know. I want a direct answer to my question. What about the teeth?
America look good. Not just for the
black
women,
I don't think
that's for white women.
I don't think anybody, Ms. Bingham, you have to say, no, that I think Condoleezza Rice is incredibly popular among all Americans because she puts a very positive face in our country. She is a woman of color, but she is very educated. She's brought along by a Republican president, which supposedly isn't supposed to happen. She's going to become the Secretary of State, which is one of the highest cabinet posts there is.
Marilyn Albright was a female.
But this is a young African-American female who's not a Secretary of State.
I think that you are a jealous black woman.
I'm an educator. I'm asking you about... Why she gets on Air Force One with the teeth of a sugarcane farmer and a David Letterman hairdo and all of this. Why?
You're not making any sense. You're
I just asked you a question. You won't answer.
Issues. You remind me a woman. You remind me of a woman that sits and reads through the magazine.
I'm glad I remind you of a woman.
But only looks at the pictures and never reads the articles.
I know all about Condoleezza.
You're not a good representation of a black American woman.
How many black American
women? You're jealous.
How many black American women are beaver-like? Answer
beaver-like? What does that mean, beaver-like? See, the thing about it is that I think that you're upset about is that she does not represent the typical dark African American.
Oh, now you're getting into stratification based on skin color.
Because we had
Halloween last month.
Her features represent that somewhere back in the line, she has white and black mix.
I don't know whether Condoleezza Rice does or
more of America than you would if you were
American. I will tell you something else, JJ. As a teacher, last month a child came into my class. He had the wax buff. You know, you don't understand what it's like to be a teacher.
I am scared to death about the kids that you teach. You are so judgmental and so cleverly disguised as an educator that you are spreading hate.
You have done nothing but insult me. I said I had a young man come into my class. He had wax teeth, the buck teeth. I told him to take those out.
That is so sad.
So what does that got to do with anything?
You judge him because he has teeth that might need some work.
Well, I'm saying, why does he get to walk along?
My father has a gap between his teeth. Are you going to judge me because my father has a gap between his teeth?
No, I am not. I am saying, why did I have to tell that young man?
Are you going to say that my father is not intelligent?
Why did I have to tell that young man to take the bubba teeth out, and yet she get to ride on Air Force One? Why?
There's a few points that
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
David, I'm sorry that I have to have you on the program. but I had a problem in my office. Okay, and
all right, are you done with your comedy gold there? I don't know if he hit the cue right.
Well, I blew it. That was Clara doing her comedy gold.
All right, because I don't know what's going on there. What's going on?
Going on where?
In the studio tonight.
Nothing. I mean, well, you know, we're just missing a few cues. Everything's good.
All right, well, what do you want?
What I want is my office is freezing cold, and that's why I called you. I want to have the heat turned up in there.
You want the heat turned up in the office?
Yeah, and in the studio, too. There's something wrong with the heat. We're freezing in here. So if I could have that, and that's, I'm sorry that I got to do this now, but...
You're stopping down your show to ask me about fixing heat.
Well...
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, that's what I'm doing, because we were freezing.
All right, I'll get Fred on it. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Okay,
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I'm sorry.
Get on to the show, will you? I thought that whole Bubba Tea thing was funny.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. You want the heat fixed?
Yes.
All right, Fred will be in a minute.
Well, I mean, I'm in the middle of the show.
No, Will, you'll be in.
All right, so I'm sorry I had to do that, but we're freezing in here, guys. The temperature here in California right now is down in the 50s. I realize it's not as cold as some places, but even without a jacket, you know, you have a problem because there are more things going on out there.
Guys are fixing the heat.
Well, I can hear what they're doing, okay? Tell them to knock it down, knock it off.
Yeah, let's slow it down a bit, okay?
All right.
Go ahead.
Anyway, let me get back into it. I got a very interesting document here. This is the U.S. federal grand jury in New York on November the 5th issued an indictment. Tell him to knock it off, will you, bud?
I thought you wanted the heat fixed.
I do, but I can't hear what I'm doing.
Well, wait, what are you supposed to do?
Can't they come back another time?
No, they're union guys. I mean, they're like, get overtime right now, you want to get fixed. Jeez.
A U.S. federal grand jury was indicted Sunday.
Put the horn! Try to get the heat fixed. Well, that doesn't mean they gotta blow a horn, does it? Come out for me.
A federal grand jury. Get David on the phone. Get him on the phone, will you?
What do you want?
I can't do the show!
Did you want the heat fixed or not?
I want the heat.
Then shut up and do the bit! What are you doing now?
Well, I'm trying to read a federal grand jury indictment of Osama bin Laden.
Oh, sexy! Can't wait to hear that! Come on, do your show! They're fixing the heat!
They're fixing the heat, huh? Can you tell me why it... Do you hear that?
Yeah?
What's that?
I don't know, they're probably blowing air through the system, trying to see what the problem is.
Blowing air through the system? It sounds like a guy's hitting a horn.
Just do your show!
A federal grand jury in New York on November the 5th issued an indictment against Osama bin Laden. Issued an indictment against Osama bin Laden that basically said there were... What the hell, I got gunfire now! On November the 5th, they issued an indictment against Osama bin Laden in which they said that he had an absolute connection...
What are you yelling for?
I can't hear anything, man. They're
they're fixing the heat that you were crying about. Other guys can work in the cold. Rome doesn't complain about it. Dr. Laura doesn't complain about it. And Limbaugh don't complain about it. But you, well, you have to have it warm. What are you, the Tsar of Russia? Why don't we get you one of them fur caps?
Look, all right, I don't care if the heat's fixed.
No, you brought it up. Hey, Eddie, blow some more, blow a little bit more air to the system. Yeah, it sounds like they're getting close.
Sounds like you got a freaking clown working on this.
I got a clown working on the show.
We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back on the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Logan Benson's with us here. Logan is 8 years old, and this is a feature that we do on our show called My Grandpa Says, and we're going to talk with Logan here in a moment. I want to remind you, coming up in the next hour, Bob Green, CEO of Fraser Foods, a grocery chain that is taking the revolutionary step this year of discouraging people from purchasing turkeys. And we'll also have on our program tonight Art Patrici with some weather information for us. Logan, how are you?
I'm really good.
I can't hear you, pal. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm really good.
You're really good?
Yeah.
Well, Logan, tell me about Grandpa.
Well, my grandpa, he's visiting right now for Thanksgiving with my Nana Angie.
And your Nana Angie? Is that your grandma?
Mm-hmm.
And what does Grandpa say these days?
Well, my grandpa says that Santa Claus doesn't exist. And the reason why they made him up is because people who are sinners can feel good about celebrating Christmas. Because that's why they have Santa Claus.
Because people who are sinners can feel good about celebrating Christmas?
Mm-hmm. And my grandpa says that Thanksgiving is a crock. And we should have slaughtered the Indians right off the bat when we came.
Your grandpa says that Thanksgiving's a crock, and we should have slaughtered the Indians right off the bat when we came to America.
Yeah, when the Pilgrims came, my grandpa says that they should have slaughtered all the Indians then, because Thanksgiving's a crock of, and I can't say the word, but.
Okay. Yeah.
And my grandpa says that most people have nothing to look forward to this new year because he says the ragheads will probably nuke all of us.
So we have nothing to look forward to all this year because the ragheads will nuke us, huh?
That's what he says, yeah. And my grandpa says that Condoleezza Rice dances and plays the spoons when the TV cameras are turned off.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, Condoleezza Rice dances and plays the spoons when the TV cameras are turned on. Your grandfather is a...
And also my grandpa says President Bush is helping the Colombia government get free nose candy. And my grandpa says that gas prices are high because George Bush pockets the money to buy dope. And also my...
Okay, thank you very much.
My grandpa said most people... that Bush knows that Bush stole the election.
Okay, thank you very much, Logan.
You're not cutting me off. My grandpa said...
Thanks a lot, Logan. Bush is helping the Colombian government to get free nose candy, and all the gas prices are high, so Bush can pocket the extra bread to buy dope. That's what Logan's grandpa says this week. Woohoo! 1-800-449-8686. Bob Green coming up next hour on why they're discouraging the sale of Christmas turkeys at his stores. Art Patrici will have a weather update. I guess there's been snow in the mountains here in California. Big deal. We got snow. Man, if it snows or it rains out here, it's headline banner news. Rain fell. Yes, rain. Wet stuff from the sky. Can you imagine? And Barry the Freak McMillan, I forgot to tell you, the world's most conservative talk show host will be joining us later on the program. Also, Bobby Dooley's Thanksgiving Marathon is happening Thanksgiving Day and the Friday of Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving weekend, Thursday and Friday. A full 6 hours of Bobby, the Western States Homeowners Association, her husband Steve, and all of their baloney. It's going to be right here on the Phil Hendry Show. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you listen to it. We hope you'll dig it. And it'll be here on Thursday and Friday of Thanksgiving. Is that this week? It's this week. Wow. And then on Saturday, we're going to go to the SC Notre Dame game. You know, because my father-in-law, he's one of these guys. Well, my whole life I've wanted to go see the Fighting Irish, and by sweet heavenly Jesus, I will. I'm going to take Al. We're taking Al and Viola to the SC Notre Dame game. These Notre Dame fans, these SC Notre Dame fans, you'd think this game is the Super Bowl. Every time these two teams play, I got people out here who fly out to South Bend to watch the game, and I'm sure there's people from back there to come out here. And see, now I was raised Catholic, but I was also raised in Los Angeles. And when I was a kid, because I couldn't root for the Rams because they stunk so bad in the 60s. Well, you think the Rams suck. They ain't nothing compared to what they were like in the 60s. So I had nothing to root for. And so what I did was, my old man would take me out to these SC football games, and I got a little, you know, I got to be a Southern California Trojan football fan. Now, even though I was going to a Catholic school, something missed me. I didn't become a Fighting Irish fan. I don't know what happened. The nuns didn't get to me soon enough. I don't know. The priest didn't ply me with liquor. I don't know what happened, but I never became the Notre Dame fan that every other Catholic kid that I know became. To the point where they fly out there to see the game, and every year it's the big thing. You know, to watch them play to SC. So I'm going to go out there, I'll root for the Trojans. They'll kick their ass anyway, because what is Notre Dame ranked? 943rd this season? I mean, they're horrifying. And the Trojans are number one, and they'll probably win the championship, and blah, 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 blah. And there's only freaking five home games anyway. I think I've been to two games this year. It's a lot of fun. I really dig going out there and actually seeing football. Since my kids are graduated from high school, I can't go out to the CIF games anymore, so I'm going to go to a college game. And one of these days, maybe we'll get a pro team. Until then, Avenger football is on the air. Oh, yeah! Yeah, man, indoor arena football. Now, there's one game I can go to, get hammered, run out onto the field, and it's part of the promotion. That's the great thing about arena football. Fan runs out on the field there, you figure he's just part of the halftime entertainment. You don't know what's going on, man. They got guys slingshotting t-shirts 1 minute, some Kiss replica band the next minute, some guy dressed in a Tony the Tiger suit in another second, then some guy running out of the stands with the throwing fake barf on the AstroTurf. And for all you know, it's part of the entertainment. Who cares? That's the great arena football, man, where drunk fans matter. So I'll go out and see the boys play a little of that arena stuff, and then we'll just, you know, get ready for the long, hot summer. Notice I've already got us up into the summer months. I can't stand this time of year. It's just so...
it's so gray and downcast.
Other sports notes. The Washington baseball team will be called the Nationals. Isn't that exciting? The Expos moved to Washington, the Montreal Expos. What they were doing in Montreal in the first place is beyond, I can't even begin to imagine. I think they had a minor league team up there. Well, I think Jackie Robinson played for the Montreal Frogs or whatever they were called, and then he went down to the Dodgers. So now they got the Washington Nationals. They did want to call them the Grays, which was the original team of the Washington Negro League team. But they want to name it instead after the old Caucasian League team, the Nationals. Because back in the day when they had the Negro Leagues, they had the Caucasoid League. And for those of you that think what I just said is a dirty word, look it up, will you please, before you complain to the FCC? It'll really save me a lot of time and trouble, please. Okay, because the FCC probably doesn't know what it means either. 1-800-449-8686, Bob Green coming up next hour. He's the CEO of Fraser Foods. On Thanksgiving, turkeys are not the hot item that he wants them to be, or at least he doesn't want them to be the hot item that everybody thinks they're. You'll figure it out. It's coming up next. Phil Henry Show.
one 800 449 8686, and now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods, a chain of grocery stores in the South Coast area, and I wanted to talk with him tonight about turkey sales and an interesting marketing approach on the part of Mr. Green and his chain of stores, that the sale of turkeys is being actually discouraged, or the purchase of turkeys, I should say, is being discouraged. Correct, Bob? Tell me what this is about.
Phil, it's something that really started about 8 months ago. I became involved with a really remarkable person who is a vegetarian. I learned about vegetarian eating. I learned about complex carbohydrates, getting protein from vegetables. As a grocer and as a man who's been involved in the selling of foodstuffs for almost 23 years, it occurred to me that we can do better by our customers. And we sell meat, and we certainly have a fully stocked butcher section, and we sell all kinds of meats, from lamb to chicken to beef to pork. But at Thanksgiving time, I am trying to discourage it.
This has caused a little bit of friction. I'm just talking about what I saw in the South Coast paper, that you're having some friction with your partners, and there's been some store complaints.
Well, we've had a few complaints from customers. I'm telling them that we would rather they not buy turkey. We do stock it.
And why do you stock it if you don't want them to buy it?
Well, you mentioned the friction I'm having with... I'm not having friction. I'm having discussions ongoing with two of the main partners in our company, Bill Randell and Tom Hewitt. Both of these guys are longtime partners of mine. They're insisting that we sell turkeys. But I don't want to sell them. I am discouraging people from buying them.
Now, the South Coast paper mentioned that you're talking to the kids of customers?
No, that is not correct. That is not correct.
Well, there was one woman who complained that you went up to one of the children and said, Mommy shouldn't buy the turkey, something like that?
No, I mentioned to one of the kids that it was sad to see a beautiful animal like a turkey, killed. And that it was sad to see that. I'm not trying to get the children involved. But
you were speaking directly to the kids, right?
I spoke to one or two of the kids. But you need to understand something. This is a decision that I've made based upon my experience as a vegetarian over the last 8 months. And it's got a lot to do with the opportunity I've had that I think a lot of men have not had, including the main two partners in our company. And I think that's probably chafing at them a little bit.
Tell me about that.
About my relationship with Ms. Rawlings? Or
yeah, well, is that the decision that's happened?
It's not a decision. I became involved with a very remarkable woman by the name of Sandy Rawlings 8 months ago. She owns her own health food store. She is a yoga teacher. She's really a remarkable woman. And I got to tell you, Phil, and I'm hoping your audience will be able to understand this, there are not a lot of men in this world who have the experience and have the opportunity that I've been presented with over the last 8 months. A lady who is wise, a lady who is smart, a woman who is sensitive, and on top of everything that she has going for her, she was employed at one time as a waitress at one of the Playboy clubs. So she obviously is very beautiful. And this is an opportunity that when Madeline and I separated and Sandy came into my life, this is not an opportunity you want to pass up for a lot of reasons. And it's not just physical, but I don't think there are a lot of guys who've been in my shoes. And
if I can use some shorthand here, though, that you're not selling turkeys based upon her influence?
No, it's not her influence, but she talked to me a lot about vegetarianism. She talked to me a lot about how the slaughter of these animals is unnecessary. And my partners have been upset with me, but I've said to them, this is an opportunity that I've got that I can't let slip by me. And so if Sandy has said to me, we shouldn't sell turkeys, I'm trying to limit the sale of these turkeys. If I talk to one or two of the kids that are in line with their parents and I tell them that the turkeys shouldn't die, please understand that I'm not doing this to hurt the kids, I'm not doing it to hurt the families, but this is a rare opportunity. You need to understand that this is a woman who is not only well-educated and wise, but a former Playboy Bunny waitress at one of the clubs, and so there's a great deal of beauty there.
Well, all right. You're making a decision, a business decision, based upon a relationship with a woman, and I imagine that you're entitled to do that.
But she's, one thing I want to mention, Sandy's had a lot of input on the business. She wants to get more involved in Fraser Foods. I want her more involved. And my partners don't like that because, in my opinion, they're a little bit jealous of the fact that I have this opportunity. And believe me, it's something that the men and I'm sure a lot of the women in your audience understand.
All right, Robert Green is with me. He is the CEO of Fraser Foods. They are actively discouraging the sale of turkeys in their markets. You mentioned you've talked to kids saying that, you know, Mommy and Daddy shouldn't buy the turkey.
We've talked to a few, Phil. I don't think that should be the focal point.
All right, but you're not selling turkeys. You're personally become a vegetarian based on the advice you've gotten from Ms. Sandy Rawlings. She's a yoga teacher, also involved in alternative diets. Vegetarian, and also you mentioned a former Playboy bunny.
Not well, I guess, yeah, the cocktail waitress at the club.
I guess they were bunnies.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't want you to focus too much on that, but this is a rare opportunity.
All right, let me get my phone number out, and then I want to know what you mean by rare opportunity. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Robert Green, who is talking with people in the store about not buying turkeys, including the kids, based upon this new influence in your life. When you say...
You're going to ask me about a rare opportunity, Phil, if I could anticipate your question.
Go ahead.
It is not often that a man is separated from a woman who... I was married to Madeline for, over 25 years, and she was fine up to a point, but it became a little difficult listening to her, and so we separated, and almost dropping right into my lap is this woman who's a former, Playboy bunny. This just doesn't happen every day. So you need to seize that opportunity. And I have told my wife that I am going to be taking Sandy's advice and a lot of the business ideas that she has because I trust her and because, as I say, it's a rare opportunity to have a woman who used to be a Playboy bunny if you want to call her a girlfriend. And so it's been difficult for me to make some of the child support payments. It's been difficult for me to make some of the bills.
Well, I didn't know you're having you're not paying child support?
I didn't say I wasn't paying child support. I said it's difficult to make some of the...
Why? Because of what? Because you're losing money at your...
We're taking a little bit of a loss, but I believe so much in Sandy and the advice that she's giving me. I really think we're going to turn things around in our store and turn our store into a much more responsible place to shop for people instead of selling these turkeys, slaughtering these animals needlessly. And we do it by educating the kids.
I want to... forgive me, but you're talking about...
You sound a little caught for words, Phil.
Well, you're talking about being... hard to, I want to be delicate here.
Well, I want you to be delicate because I don't want you to misunderstand what's going on here. I have a relationship with a woman that's very important to me. This is a great opportunity for me, and I don't want this to go south.
But you're not paying child support.
I didn't say that I wasn't paying child support, sir.
You said you're late with your child support payments. You've taken a loss on your business because you've changed some things that you're doing at the store, including not selling or discouraging the sale of Thanksgiving turkeys based upon the advice of this new, may I say, this new relationship.
It is. It's more than a relationship. It's a very deep and meaningful friendship. And if you're wondering why it is I would just take the advice of any woman, it's not just any woman. This woman was a former Playboy bunny. She has...
All right, I understand. So she's got a fair amount of physical charm to go along with all of her...
Well, it's not just that. She worked for Hugh Hefner. You realize he is someone who has set the standard for all American men in terms of beauty. And for me not to get my hands on something or to take advantage of something like that, I think would be foolish.
But what do you say to your children? I have a relationship now with a woman that may necessitate me not doing as well in business... And therefore, I won't be able to pay child support.
My children are not involved in those decisions at all, Phil.
All right, what do you say to your wife when you say that you can't make your child support?
I am making my child support. It's a little bit late, and sometimes it is not as much as it should be. But this is a great opportunity for me.
And if it means not selling turkeys or having your business go south...
My business isn't going south. We're just changing some of our business practices.
All right, well, all I can tell you is you made the newspapers.
I know. We always make the newspapers because we are a very trend-setting company.
Well, you made the newspapers because you're talking to children in line saying that killing turkeys is bad. You're making the newspapers because you've got some friction with your partners. And it seems to me it's all based upon the fact that you got a relationship with a Sandy Rawlings, who I don't know anything about this woman.
Well, I'm telling you about her. And
well, all right, but she's a vegetarian, she owns a health food store, she's a yoga teacher, and she's a former Playboy playmate.
No, she was a...
Or I mean a bunny.
Absolutely. She was considered for a few pictorials. The point that I'm trying to make here, before I get a lot of, a lot of feedback on how I'm not paying child support or this kind of thing, it's a very rare opportunity.
I understand that, for a man to go out with a Playboy bunny.
I'm not going out with her. Allow me to finish. It's a rare opportunity to have in your life a woman who has all of these attributes, and on top of that, she was a bunny at one of the clubs. And that is...
Why do you keep mentioning, can't you just say she's beautiful?
Because when you say she worked at the Playboy Club, Hefner, who is the guy that set the standard, put his stamp of approval on her. And that, I can tell you something, Phil, as a man, that is a rare opportunity.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if this man has brought into his business a partner who is advising him on things that is costing him money. He's not making his child support on time. And he's got friction with his partners. And he's not selling Christmas, Thanksgiving turkeys, I should say, because this lady in his life is a former, I'm hearing that she's a former Playboy bunny. And it's a rare opportunity, according to Mr. Green, to have not only a woman who is smart and intelligent and all of this stuff, but also has the Hugh Hefner stamp of approval on her. That's something worth, as he said, getting your hands on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green, CEO of Fraser Foods. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
When was your last pork chop inhalation? These are the questions I ask myself.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Mr. Green, Phil Hendry here with Robert Green. Can I ask you just a quick question here? Your relationship with this woman, Sandy Rawlings, who I understand you met her at a food exhibition, and there was a grocer's exhibition?
No, Phil, it was a grocer's convention exhibition, and she is a significant part of my life. And I really don't want to make her about what we're talking about. We're talking about a business disagreement I've got with partners. I don't want to sell turkeys at Thanksgiving. These are animals that have been slaughtered for... People eat meat all year round, and then on top of that, they want us to slaughter an extra few million turkeys because they have this gruesome need to eat turkey at Thanksgiving. I'm simply saying that Sandy opened my eyes to that.
As the result, though, you've got a business problem.
I didn't say I had a business problem, sir.
Well, you said that you've got enough of a cash flow problem where you're late making child support payments.
This is a temporary situation, yes. But Sandy is involved in the business now. I told both Ted and Bob, my partners, that I wanted more of her input. And
why? I mean, I understand what you're saying about her being a former Playboy bunny. I just don't realize, is it worth it being late on your payments, child support?
Phil, it's surprising that you asked this question.
Well, no, I don't think it's surprising. Why?
Because you're a man. You don't understand what's going on here.
That you have a relationship with a woman that used to be a Playboy bunny?
Well, I kind of resent the way you're putting it.
Well, I don't mean to put it that in a way that you would resent it, but...
No, yeah, this is a woman who is not only intelligent, wise, sensitive, but how many guys do you know go out with a Playboy bunny is all I'm trying to say to you.
All right, 1-800-449-868. I wish you could hear yourself.
No, I wish you could hear yourself, sir, because I'm the one who owns a very successful grocery enterprise.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Robert Green of Fraser Foods, who's undergoing a change of business climate, has having some problems with partners and so on. He's got a new woman in his life who is a yoga teacher, a vegetarian, and a former Playboy bunny. Here is Joy. Joy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Oh, hi.
And I heard the way you put that. I think it's very denigrating, Mr. Hendry.
Let me get to my caller. Go ahead, Joy.
Hi, Mr. Green.
Yes, ma'am.
A quick comment.
Yes.
This is a woman's opinion. I think that I'm sorry to say that, totally lost your mind because you don't live up to your business obligation and your family obligation, because to justify your relationship, you have mentioned so many times that this woman has been a Playboy waitress that it seems to me that's what your emphasis on this woman is all about. And
no.
Then you add the fact that she's smart, she's intelligent.
Absolutely.
She's a yoga teacher. But this is not what defines a person. And this is not what you should be doing, because you have obligation first toward your business partners.
Of course I do. Allow me
just to finish.
Your
partners open up the business with you, not with her.
Good point.
Your wife, you have children with your wife, not with her. You have obligations. That's being grown up. That's being an adult.
These are good points.
You totally lost your mind.
You think they're good points, Mr. Henry, if I could be allowed to respond.
I think they are good points insofar as the business partner.
Well, let me decide. Joe, I thank you for your comments, but you are a woman. And that means that you probably it makes that you take the side of my wife probably more.
No, it has nothing to do with that. They're valid points to ask you from the business prospect, okay?
Well, my wife...
You open your business with your partners, not with Ms. Rawlings, correct?
That is true, and I still... and I'm observing my obligation to my business partners, and Well, they may not be happy with it, but that's why they're called partners. They're not the guys that run the show. I believe that by limiting...
They're partners, exactly. They have as much faith in your business as you do.
Let people start
bringing their girlfriends in and wives and everything into business.
If you knew Bob Randell and Tom Hewitt the way I do, both those guys would get on their knees for a Playboy bunny. And because I happen to have one in my life...
Not about a Playboy bunny.
No,
this
you're
is about
right.
Business.
Let me jump in. What about your kids?
What about my kids, Mr. Henry? I take care of my children.
But you have said that you have had problems making...
Boy, I never should have mentioned that. If I'd never mentioned that, you and your listeners who call up to support you, I'm sure...
My listeners have their own thoughts. They're not doing what I tell them to do.
Look, I'm late with a few child support payments because Sandy feels we should implement...
Does Sandy have any children?
I'm sorry?
Does she have any children?
I'm sure she doesn't. You're not allowed
Playboy. Again, her priority at this point is her. She doesn't have anybody else, not even
her
animals.
Her priority is us. Sandy and
No, your priority should be your children and your business,
and
not Ms. Rawlings. And you don't even know what kind of relationship you have with her. You say she's a girlfriend. No, she's not that kind of a girlfriend. It's a relationship. No, it's not a relationship.
We have an advanced relationship. It is a new age relationship. It's not based upon
What's a new age relationship?
What do you mean? You're not married?
Mr. Henry, my business is my business. I'm simply saying you don't know what an opportunity this is for a guy like me who went bald at 29. I got a Playboy bunny in my life, and I don't understand what you guys are trying to say to me.
But she should be in your private life, not your business life,
Your children's life. Exactly. All right, Joe, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You understand what we're trying to say?
No, I understand, but she's got great business ideas, great business acumen, and yes, she is built.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, then I'm going to ask you that question. I'm back on the air with Robert Greene, Phil Henry Show. Robert Greene, the CEO of Fraser Foods. Is your business so bad, sir, as the result of this relationship with this woman, your wife took your kids to a soup kitchen last week? Is that correct?
No, that's what my wife would like you to believe. She didn't have to take those children over there. She did that to make some point with a lawyer. Because she's trying to, as a lot of ex-wives do who are bitter, she's trying to turn the screw a little bit more and turn the screw a little bit more and try to get blood out of a rock. And I can tell you...
Well, she says that you say you're late with your child support, though.
I've been a little bit late, but there was no need to take the kids down to that mission, which is absolutely unnecessary. The fact that we're a little bit late on child support, or we may be late on some payments, I've got a great opportunity. Sandy Rawlings is a vegetarian. She is a...
You've given me the credentials of this woman, but the more you give me her credentials, the more it sounds like she's driving your business into the ground and poisoning your relationship with your business partners.
Well, I would like you to watch how you talk about a woman that I think very highly of, please.
Well, sir, doesn't it sound...
No, I just would like you to watch how you talk about a woman I feel very highly of. Sandy... represents what a lot of guys, you wouldn't want to get your hands on a Playboy bunny, and yet you talk like this. And
I wouldn't have my kids go to a soup kitchen for a Playboy bunny, no sir. I would not.
My kids went to a soup kitchen because my wife's trying to make a point with a lawyer. She didn't have to put them in a soup kitchen.
Are you on time with your child support?
I'm sorry?
Are you paying your child support on time?
At the best of my knowledge, my accountant is the one who pays those bills. I've got a business manager.
Well, it seems to me like he's late.
Well, sir, if he's late, he's not late by much. And you keep missing the point on this thing. This woman was handpicked by Hugh Hefner to be a...
I got it. She was a cocktail waitress in a Playboy club. Marianne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I tell you, this man is absolutely out of his mind. Playboy has not been in style for 10 years.
I'm not talking about going to the club. I'm talking about being with a Playboy bunny.
Oh, sir, you must be a real loser.
It's an opportunity.
You have to be a loser.
A loser?
If you think going with a Playboy bunny is a big thing, to leave your wife and your children and let your children go without food and everything else for a Playboy bunny,
sir? My kids are not going out without food.
Are you out of your mind?
Ma'am, if I may, you speak like a typical woman. I mean, Playboy bunny represents...
A typical woman? What is your Playboy bunny a typical woman?
A Playboy bunny represents a cachet for men that is very important for their business. Are you?
Sir,
did you use the word?
You are out of your mind, and you really need to get a grip.
Well, ma'am, I would
and
say
I
that
feel,
you, some man
really
probably.
I feel bad for your wife and your children.
Well, I feel
and
bad for you.
I hope that your children have to listen to this conversation that you put on the radio and aired all of your dirty laundry.
What dirty laundry?
Really,
I'm not airing any dirt. Look, if a man threw you over for a Playboy bunny, then I understand your bitterness. But I
you're
would say
having an affair. A Playboy bunny, dear, is not anything.
Well, you're
maybe
speaking
a
as
a pretty woman, and that's all. And
why don't you ask a man instead of you know? Because I don't
ask
think...
men, sir. I know about.
Well, I would. I'm a man, and I don't have to.
20 years ago, they had one in this city.
Well, ma'am, are you? Let's ask you this: are you a Playboy bunny?
Oh heavens, no.
Well, then it sounds like a little bit of jealousy mixed in with some anger.
Jealousy, sir.
You're
I don't think
you're not
a Playboy bunny sets the standard for American women. I really don't.
Yes, but you have to ask
any man who doesn't support their children is
right.
An infidel.
I support my children.
But you admit...
And I hope you know what an infidel is.
Your voice tells me you're not only jealous, but you're a heavy smoker.
A heavy what, sir?
Smoker. Is that correct?
Sandy
doesn't smoke. Sandy doesn't smoke.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, good
Sandy
for Sandy.
Is a yoga teacher.
Maybe she can save enough money to pay your children's child support.
That's not her job. That's my job. And
well,
I do
then maybe you better pay it and quit paying so much attention to yourself and your baldness and everything else you've had going on for
I
years.
I think it's dirty pool you bringing up the fact that I'm bald.
Well,
I
you brought it up. I didn't.
Well,
you opened the door. I didn't.
I got a $15,000 hair system. Thank you very much.
I and don't care what you have. I just think that you are a disgrace to American men.
I'm a disgrace.
How'd that grab you?
Ma'am, I can tell you something. First of all, most American men understand what I'm saying. The opportunity presented by a Playboy bunny that I get to go out...
How many times are you going to repeat?
You know, you
Playboy
keep saying
bunny?
That. I mean, what's the big cachet, dude?
Oh, Mr. Henry, please don't play stupid. You walk into a joint with a Playboy bunny in your arm? Come on.
What is this, a token girlfriend?
No, she is not. She's intelligent, soft-spoken. She doesn't smoke.
She has to be a token girlfriend because you're saying
she's got a lot of great...
with a Playboy bunny on your arm?
She's got
Come
a
on,
lot of
what does
great...
your wife look like?
Not like a Playboy bunny, sorry to say.
And I'm sure you
and
don't
that would have
like
been
Mr.
fine if I could have gotten
I'm
her to
sure
be quiet.
I'm sure you don't look like Mr. America either.
You know what? You remind me of my wife because I couldn't get her to be quiet. Not for 2 seconds she wouldn't shut up.
Oh, I can just...
You know, this is... This says a heck of a lot for a woman who's taken your children to a soup kitchen.
It's a damn shame that you put all of American women into...
Ma'am, my wife looks...
The way women should look is like a Playboy bunny.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that Sandy has a Playboy bunny looks, and she's a yoga teacher, and she has a vegetarian...
Oh, you are a grip.
My wife looks like your voice sounds, gruff and salty.
You know that I have never called into a... radio show in my whole life until I heard you and
Mr.
your
Green, the idea that a Playboy bunny...
Well, Mr. Henry, you're just trying to suck up to your female callers. Otherwise, you'd admit that having a Playboy bunny... Are you kidding me? Listen to her. She can't get it.
Maybe a Playboy playmate.
What's the difference? There's no difference. You got to have large breasts to be a Playboy bunny. Then they pick out of that what they put in the magazine.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Is
yeah,
right.
Hey, you know what?
I've had enough.
You're jealous.
I will say good night.
All right. Thank you very much, Marianne. 1-800-449-8686. Janelle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Mr.
You know, that lady sounded like she needed to hang up, light her corncob pipe, and go back knitting some overalls. Jesus.
Oh,
yes,
first
ma'am.
Of all, Mr. Henry, I'd like to ask this gentleman how many years he was married to his wife.
18 long years.
18 years. And
long.
How old are your children?
My kids are now, actually, my eldest is 16. That's the girl, and I've got two boys who are preteens.
Okay. And so you have three children, and
what are you,
much?
A social worker, ma'am?
No.
You know,
I'm just trying to figure out
the psychology of what's going on. Let me help you with that. The psychology of what's going on is that a rare opportunity came my way, a woman of class, of style, of intelligence and substance, and yes, okay, I'm sorry, I apologize, she's built like a you-know-what brick house.
Yeah.
And yes, so there you go.
Well, I guess my point of view is, sure, you know, coming from...
What do you look like?
It doesn't really matter. You can't see me. I could lie. But
but you could tell the truth.
The fact of the matter is that you're just going through...
What did you say?
A midlife crisis kind of deal. You know, your wife was probably beautiful and intelligent when you met her.
All right, thank you very much, Dr.
Because
Brothers.
Because she has three children, and now you've traded her in on a newer model.
No, absolutely wrong.
And
Sandy's got great ideas about how we can move our... she's got a whole new line of herbal soups.
What?
Does she have a college education?
She has great ideas. We're bringing in herbal soups. We're going to be bringing in herbal teas. We're going to stop selling all this stuff, you know.
Well, great ideas.
Listening to you talk.
But she told you not to.
Have you considered a career at the Playboy Club?
She told you not to pay your child support?
No, she did not. And I do pay my child support.
Okay.
All right, Janelle, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686.
Why'd you get rid of her?
Because I want to move on to another call.
Because if ever there was Playboy Club material, that was...
Yeah, that's great, but I want to get on to another call. Let's go to Anita. Hi, Anita, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I have never listened to your show before, but I happened to listen to it, heard this man, and I think he is being totally immature, irresponsible. He sounds like an infatuated teenager. He can't separate his business from his work responsibility.
No, ma'am. Absolutely wrong.
This
Sandy's
is unbelievable.
Sandy's got great business.
Hooked on her, on a Playboy bunny. I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, she's got great business ideas. A whole new line of herbal soups.
Think about it. If you're a businessman, you should be putting your business first and separating this Playboy bunny from your business.
You're just not thinking.
You're infatuated.
Groceries is her business. She had a health food restaurant.
But you know what?
She teaches yoga.
You're giving up a good business with your partner.
Yeah, man.
A Playboy bunny.
I'm not giving up... The business, she's got an idea for herbal soups and teas.
That's fine, but
we're gonna
don't
bring
stop
in a whole
selling
new
your
line
turkeys.
Of organic venison.
You're ruining your business to go over to this woman's store.
Sandy convinced me that slaughtering turkeys was murder.
Oh, come on. Then
are you listening to yourself, man?
Drop out of the business and open up a health food store or something.
No,
I think
we
it's
are
terrible.
Going to make
your responsibility is to your children first and not this woman.
And I am
separate the two.
My kids went to a soup kitchen.
You are too infatuated with a Playboy bunny. You have your priorities all out of order.
Where are the men callers? Because if I got some guys on the line, they'd agree with me.
Oh, I don't think so. I think anybody who agrees with you has to need some sort of counseling.
All right, now you're calling me nuts. Now you're calling me nuts.
No, you
That's
need some counseling to get your head together.
If that isn't nuts...
You're not thinking with your head or your brain.
You're telling me that I need counseling.
That means
I'm nuts.
Yes, you do, certainly.
All right, then you're saying I'm nuts.
No, you're not nuts.
You have to
get your priorities in order, your responsibilities.
Look, at Mr. Green, let's say she's the most kick-ass, most beautiful woman the world has ever known. Let's say whatever
it's
your idea of beauty is.
It's what's inside
that
counts. Oh, yeah, it's what's inside. You bet it's what's inside that counts. And the sooner I get...
Okay, I don't want to hear that.
I have to hang up. I just can't listen to that, man.
I have to tell you this right now, that Sandy has told me that with the new line of herbal soups, we'll be able to recoup what we lose on our turkeys inside of 8 months.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, the caller's gone. With the new line of herbal soups.
Herb, herbal soups. We've got a great new line of walnut-based meatloaf. We've got a toy. She's got an invention for, if you want to hear something funny, this is fantastic, tofu breast implants. So when you're down there nibbling...
Okay, that's it.
By the way, people can call me, Phil, at Bob Green at philhenryshow.com if they think that I'm full of crap. Or if they agree with me and you didn't let them on the air.
I let on everybody that called.
Bull crap, you did not. You screened out everybody that would agree with me. How come I didn't hear any guys calling?
Because these were all women that were outraged at what you had to say. Tofu breast implants.
Honest to God, they're edible.
Yeah, I get it. Sandy Rawlings, by the way, can also be emailed at sandyrawlings@philhenryshow.com. She's a former Playboy bunny, cocktail waitress, teaches yoga, and has a new recipe for meatloaf made entirely out of walnut protein. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now, remember, on Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, this Thursday and Friday, the Bobby Dooley Marathon. The Bobby Dooley Marathon. 6 solid hours of Bobby, Steve, their sons Seth, Dylan, and Justin, all of her neighbors, Janice Greeley, all of the people there at Western Estates Homeowners Association and their gated community, and all of their disgusting, vile, yet hilarious antics. This coming Thursday and Friday, Thanksgiving weekend. All right, Steve Bozell was on our show last Friday. Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, was trying to teach his son a lesson about safety. His son was jumping off of the roof a lot, and so he took the turkey they'd purchased for Thanksgiving, and he went up on the roof, and he threw it off the roof to show his son what would happen to a human, broken bones, etc. Except nothing happened to a frozen turkey. It just hit the ground with a thud. His neighbor, Roy Hutchins, laughed at him. Well, Steve is suing.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I just had to call, Phil, because this guy is an idiot. Listen, dude, your own wife.
Well, you're calling people names. That's not going to get you any place. We have to intellectually talk about it.
Well, listen, you know, you sound almost lucid some. Listen to what you did. Your own wife is laughing at you. The neighbor's laughing at
My
you.
My wife did not.
Son's laughing at you because you're a moron. Anybody knows with any kind of sense. You don't throw a frozen turkey off and expect some kind of physiological change to it. How tall is the roof there, genius?
Hey, my wife didn't laugh at me. She dismissed me. Also, if you're trying to teach your son a lesson about safety, he'd been jumping off of rooftops into swimming pools. I don't think that's the time to be laughing at that.
Let's back up there for a moment there, genius, because
I'll tell you what, Redneck. You know, you want to call me names and everything like that.
If you had antebrain, your boy wouldn't be jumping off that pool. Obviously, you aren't the parent of the year.
So your kids do everything right all the time.
My kids ain't jumping off the roof, I'll tell you that.
How do you know?
Well,
I'll
tell you one
thing. Got you there, man. Got you there, genius.
That's
right.
Well, listen,
you don't know.
I'm not the one who's on you national might get a radio being an idiot because you're throwing meat off. Hey, on the bottom line is you threw out two good meals just to give that boy a lesson, and he's still going to jump off the pool. Your wife's laughing at you, the neighbors laughing at you, the entire country's laughing at you. Why do you think our courts are so messed up because of morons like you filing frivolous lawsuits over such? Let me ask you this. How much money you think you're going to get off this there, brain surgeon?
I'll tell you what, rocket scientist. My attorney says that $500,000, minimum is $50,000, for inflicting emotional distress. Which could wind up hurting my son in the long run, because if my son doesn't get that lesson, he winds up jumping off of a roof and conking his head on the coping of a pool. My friend there, this guy Hutchins, who calls me Evel Knievel, all that, he's going to have blood on his hands.
I bet you're paying that lawyer up front, aren't you? That lawyer's taking you just like everybody else. He's laughing. I bet you he walked in there and to the people in the law firm and said, wait till you hear about this fish I got on the line. You're an idiot.
All,
you're not going to get a dollar.
Just to show what kind of guy you are, it's a female, Dolores Blazengame, and I've been doing business with her for 15 years.
Oh, listen to Gloria Steinem here. You're the one who's telling me that women got to do this and women got to do that. And I'm disrespectful.
Well, okay. If you come out and you see your kid and his brains are all over the side of a swimming pool because he jumped off a roof, don't blame me. Don't come crying to me about it.
Yeah, well, that won't happen. That won't happen to me because I'm not as dumb
as you are. If I could jump in here, the idea here is that the lawsuit may seem frivolous from the standpoint you're suing for emotional distress.
Look, this guy thinks it's funny because I threw a rib roast off of a roof. I'm trying to teach my boy a lesson.
Well, you threw a rib roast? You said you threw a turkey?
Because they're like people in so
all
much
right.
of
it. Right. You've been watching too much Quincy there, pal. They're not like people. Okay. First of all, how many people you know walk around are frozen, you moron?
Okay. This guy on the phone right now is just like this neighbor I'm suing. In that he,
So your neighbor kind of yells at you like this?
Yeah, he makes fun of me, calls me all kinds of names, like this guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. You all look in the mirror and say, now, why is it that everybody's laughing at me? I'm telling you. I pulled off the highway, Phil.
Okay, what do you want me to do, sir? Do you want me to throw my wife off the roof? Maybe next time I'll throw my wife off the roof, and then you'll think everything's okay with that.
I just had to call, Phil, because this guy is an idiot. Listen, dude.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I missed the cue. Sorry. I was running the disc myself. Anyway, that's Steve Ozell throwing rib roast and turkeys off the roof because he wanted to teach his son a lesson in safety. But the guy made a good point. How many people walking around frozen solid? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the web address, www.philhenryshow.com, and our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. Pick up the best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD, which is called Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, and it's available on our website. All the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Wow. I don't know whether that's... Is that the wind that I'm hearing there? Art, are you there?
Right here, Phil. This is Art Patrese, and we are in the Cajon Pass right now where the snow has reached a level of about 3 inches. We've got 3 inches of snow. And I have been on the phone to the Weather Service. I've tried to contact some of the television stations. It's like nothing I've ever seen.
Well, the snow, is it what, 3 inches?
We've got 3 inches. And I'm worried for a number of reasons. Number one, I've talked to a number of doted scientists who believe that there is a new ice age coming, and I think we're on the verge of it. Now, I could be wrong.
Well, how does 3 inches of snow...
Hold on for a minute. Let me finish, because I'm a meteorologist. I've lived in this state for 30 years, and three inches of snow is... Oh, yeah, I'm worried. I don't know if California can... How are we going to survive in an Arctic age? In other words, will we be able to have food? How are you... Everything that I've ever dreamed, everything I've ever wanted, could be ruined. And I'm just...
Well, look at Art, you're a weatherman. You're supposed to put this in perspective and keep people calm.
I want to keep everybody calm, but I'm scared. What are they doing? Why? Why is there snow? It's November? And they say there could be a foot of snow by tomorrow? For something I did wrong? I think God hates us all. And I just think it's time for people to turn to Christianity. I think it's a viable solution to the problem. This is the apocalypse. It's the end. 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 Wait a minute. I've got an update here. Sunny skies tomorrow. Highs in the 80s. This is Art Patrice. I'm sorry.
You sound like a jackass.
I'm sorry.
Where are you anyway?
My home.
Who's in the background? Is that your wife?
That's my wife and kid.
You're nowhere near the freaking Cajon Pass, are you?
No, I'm just out back. I'm trying to put a gazebo up. We bought it over at Costco. All right, I blew it. I'm sorry. I panicked. I didn't know that the weather's going to clear. Are you mad?
Yeah, I'm a little upset. I'm a little put out. Yes, I'm mad.
I'm sorry. I'm Mike Patrici. Can I do it like Rome?
Go ahead.
Out.
What a dork. 3 inches of snow. It must be the end. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. It's been cold, and maybe there was a little bit of snow, and maybe there was a little bit of rain. Boy, I tell you, taking that driving exam today, you're looking at this driving exam, and, you know, it's the written test, and there were a lot of questions there about fog. What happens when there's fog? And there were a few questions about ice and sleet, but understand that in California, I guess most of this, and then there were some questions about light rail, like, where's that? No place I'll be driving anytime soon. You mean San Francisco? Nope. Not going to happen. But, yeah, so we get a little bit of cold weather, get a little bit of rain, and, my God, it's the same thing over and over again. People are driving as if we have got the second coming of Hurricane Andrew around here. They just don't know whether to just stop the car dead in the middle of the road like it's Reagan's funeral procession going by, or they should just scream ass home to get out of the half inch of rain that's coming down, or what it is. But I'll tell you, I have learned a lot taking that driving test. Today I'm driving just like a regular guy. You know, I'm not making eye contact, and I'm not engaging in any road rage. You know, one of the major causes of road rage, according to my driving exam today, making eye contact with a driver. Don't do that. The other thing, don't honk your horn, unless it's for an emergency. You honk your horn, guy's going to get pissed off. Another thing you don't want to do, don't tailgate. That'll drive a guy batty. Don't be flashing your brights. Don't do anything that's going to drive some guy around the bend, right? And still there's going to be some nutcase out there that thinks you're going too slow. And it said right there in my driving exam, I've been hitting this one, you know, for years. Right there it said, do not, in the far left-hand lane, impede the traffic behind you. If there is faster traffic, move over. Move over, move over, move over. Now, people don't do that. They sit there because they think if they're doing 65 and they're in the far left-hand lane, the number one lane, then they are observing the law. Well, not here, not in the state of California. I don't know where anybody else, but I bet you it's pretty much the same everywhere. If you're in the far left lane, on the freeway, on the expressway, on the turnpike, get your ass over if there's somebody faster coming up behind you. I know it seems to you as if you've completely surrendered your manhood. I realize that if you have to move over to let a faster guy go by, then you must just be a gelding. That you have no business living on this earth because you had to move your little car over for some guy who's going faster. But it's the law. Love to see a cop enforce it, though, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you love to see a cop just one time? Just one time. That's the thing I'm waiting for. Forget about all this stuff I'm seeing in the driver handbook. That's the one law there that I would just love. Two laws I'd love to see the cops enforce. The one that says you gotta move over if there's faster traffic behind you in the fast lane. I'd love to see a cop pull a guy over that fails to yield for people behind him. That's number one. And then the other law I'd like to see a cop just one time before I die, before I just shuffle off this mortal coil, as Shakespeare said, I would one time like to see a cop actually give a ticket to somebody who's just flat going too slow. See, that's against the law, too. Can't do that. You impede traffic. That's against just one time. Now, I know they're out there. I see the CHP all over the place. And I'm sure they would tell me, Phil, I have much more important things. We got speeders. We got guys that are coked out of their brains. We got guys that are flying on every kind of dust. We got all kinds of pixies and fairies flying around out there, man. I can't be bothered with this. Oh, come on, man. I see you guys cruising along in the traffic all the freaking time, and you're just waiting to bait some guy. I see it all the time. I especially see the motor cops. They get in right behind somebody, right? So they camouflage themselves, the motorcycle, the highway patrol, and as soon as they spot some clown going too fast, boom, they go right after the guy, right? Ah, you guys are out there, you're cruising around, I see all the time. Just one time I'd like you to pull over some jackass who's riding along there in the fast lane doing 65 and will not move over for love or money. And he's got 18 miles of cars behind him. and pull that guy over, and he'll look up at you with the big moo cow eyes and go, gee, Ossifer, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I was doing the speed limit. And then you can, like, educate this boob as to the reality of life on the planet Earth. Really? You didn't think you were doing anything wrong? I'll tell you something right now, brain surgeon. What you do is, to borrow a phrase from our caller last hour, what you do is when you're going like that and there's a guy behind you, move your ass over. So I learned all about that. I learned all about not driving in the bike lane. I learned all about making the right turn on the right lane, you know, the red, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and what a yellow light means, all that. I got 100% on that stinking test, man. Light rail, and they ask questions about fog and pulling it over for this and that and something else. All kinds of rules you got to know. And so I was out there driving like a real regular guy. But they had that, like I was saying, they had that whole section on road rage. Road rage is when, do you know that road rage is now, get a load of this, this is true. This is a psychiatric condition. Road rage is a psychiatric condition. I got this on good authority. A psychiatrist told me this, and I wasn't even his patient. He was just having conversation at a cocktail party one night, and Dr. Freud sidled up to me, and he said, you know, Phil, road rage is actually a mental condition that should be treated. I said, well, what do you mean by road rage? He says, anytime you lean on your horn out of anger, you have lost control of yourself at the wrong time. And therefore, you need to be looked at, pal. You've got a brain problem. And why do they say that? Because if you are angry and you're driving and you're angry, and you've lost control while you're driving, you could lose control of that car. If you lose control of the car, you can hurt somebody. And if you hurt somebody after losing control of the car because of anger, it's called vehicular manslaughter. Not man tickling, not man petting, not man stroking, man slaughtering. You just slaughtered a man. So if you're following somebody too close because they pissed you off, you hit the brights because they pissed you off, anything you do because you're angry, you're nuts, pal, and you need a freaking head doctor. And I ain't saying that I'm, you know, I'm like all the rest of you guys. You too, Pelton. It's a mental case, you know. You're like, you need your head shrunk a little bit. Think about that. It's happening all the time out there. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. There's the update on my life as a good citizen, Phil Henry Show. We have old man Alf is going to join us, so that's great. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. We go through our mailbag like once a week. And our web address, www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Going straight to the hot place. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hello? Hello, my name is Doug Smith. I'm speaking to you from San Quentin, maximum security prison. I was sentenced to death for killing an entire summer camp full of overweight children. And I just want to wish each and every one of you a holiday greeting from the California penal system.
Thank you, Doug.
You're welcome.
Great. The entire California penal system just thanking each and every one of you for your good wishes and a happy holiday from all of them to all of us. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Fast internet use doubles in the U.S. Well, not at my house. Yes, the number of Americans using fast internet connections doubled from the year 2001 through late 2003, still below some expectations, and especially low among minority groups and people in rural areas. Gee, I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because they're poor. Maybe it's because they're too stupid. No, it's because the phone company can't get it together to get the connections out there. During the election, President Bush advocated affordable access to high-speed internet services for all Americans. This has got nothing to do with money. This has got to do with whether the phone company decides they want to put equipment someplace near your house. And let me tell you something. I think that holds not just for the rural folks, which I guess I'm one of them because I got no high-speed internet at my place. I think it holds for folks, quote, minority people, end quote, because I'll bet you anything in some of the more rundown, or shall we say the more, underachieving urban areas, I bet you they got equipment problems out there, maintenance, so on and so forth. How about, you know, it's the last time you see a phone truck down there trying to do work. Some experts said growth was disappointing, far behind countries that include South Korea, Taiwan, and Canada. The report also identified troubling figures for use or availability of high-speed internet services among blacks, Hispanics, and people in rural areas. Hey, get me, man. Phil Hendry, for the first time in his life, can be grouped in with blacks and Hispanics as not having equal access to the internet. Man, this calls for some kind of a celebration. This is some kind of a red-letter day. I ain't got high-speed internet, and I know the reason why. Probably the same reason why black folks, Hispanic folks, and everybody else who lives in marginal neighborhoods doesn't have internet. Because the phone company in this country, and I say phone company, I mean all, you know, the one big phone company. I don't care if they deregulated. They ain't deregulated diddly squat in my book. It's all the same big, dumb bunch of people. Can't get it together, man, to get me a little bit of high-speed juice, huh? I'm out there, I'm picking up cigarette butts. I'm shuffling along, man, with my hands thrust deep into my pockets and my collar turned up against the wind. I can't get high-speed internet for love or money. And yet they put in a new development. Every time you hear the words new development, what do you think of? Lots of houses, lots of kids, lots of bicycles, lots of phone trucks, lots of gas trucks, lots of, you know, a lot of utilities. Man, they're all over that place. I even had the phone company call me one time because I went into this rant on the air. Oh, well, they heard me talking about it, and they called up Phil Hendry because he does a talk show, see? So they're going to call him up. Oh, well, Mr. Hendry, you see, you know, I don't play that, man. There may be some guys out there who do. I don't. Once I indict you, you can't get back in my good graces because you heard me talking about it, and you're going to get a representative from your company to call me up and say, well, we had no idea, Mr. Hendry, that you didn't have internet access, because that's exactly what the phone company did. They not only had, they had like 19 guys in the room. I gave them 5 seconds of my time. I'll never get, the woman calls up, she says, Mr. Hendry, this is so-and-so, and I have in the room with me so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and they go, oh, look at all the service I'm getting now, because I'm a big fat mouth on the radio. I said, I'm not interested. Because you want to know the bottom line on that? She could have kissed my rear end up one side and down the next. They still don't have the equipment that can deliver me high-speed internet. They're probably going to give me some kind of a, you know, speeded-up dial-up. Which sucks, even though I know I had a sponsor that was promoting that for a while. Well, guess what? I don't like it anymore because they ain't. I don't think they're advertising, are they? You mean they are? It's fantastic. It's the best I've ever had, and I've had it in every port in the world. I've had it with Chinese women, with, oh, I mean, internet. Yeah, that's right. I've had some of the best dial-up. I can tell you right now, sports fans, and so when you live too far away from the call center for DSL to work, well, that's just the way it goes. And they'll get around to getting it out to you whenever they feel like it. Now, at what point does this become a utility, in which case it becomes something that is necessary, something that everybody is supposedly has equal access to, like water, like electricity? I'm not saying that the internet is. God forbid that we should have a monopoly there. For instance, water is viewed as a life essential. Electricity, the same thing. For some reason, healthcare isn't. I don't know. Somebody could explain that to me, but water is like, you gotta have water and you gotta have electricity, but like affordable healthcare, no, you don't have to have that. You ask anybody, how come I gotta have water, man? Well, you could die. Well, couldn't I die if I don't get healthcare? Well, you know, but it's not like, it could be your fault, see, that you got sick. Oh, so it's the my fault rule. Yes. Oh, I get it. Okay. Like, if I don't have water, it ain't my fault that I died from lack of water. Yeah. And if I don't have electricity, it ain't my fault that I died because I don't have any lights and I don't have any electricity to cook. But if I don't have health care, it is my fault because I died from cancer?
Yes.
All right. Like a big raging brain tumor or something?
Right.
Health care, in other words, is put under that it's your fault category. And the internet, I think, is probably the same thing. It's your fault, man, if you don't have, you know, look, we got a phone cable out there for you. Huh? Ain't that good enough? You got dial-up, that's got to be good enough. And where I live, they barely got telephone service. I'm telling you, why we bought this house is anybody's guess. My wife said she wanted to live in this house. It's out in the middle of a canyon. You just think of the average Western you used to see on television, where they'd ride through those rocks. You know those big boulder rocks they used to ride through on a horse? That's where I live. I don't even get mail service at my front door. I got to walk down the road to get it. How do you like that? How you doing, Jethro?
Real good, Mr. Henry. Well, doesn't look like much today. Just a few bills.
And don't go through my mail just because you're the guy that, you know, what do you think this is, man? Green Acres?
Just about. Yep, you have a good day.
Can't get out of your truck to just come up the road a little bit, huh? And drop it in my front lawn or something?
No, can't do that, sir. Well, gotta be going now. Have a good day. Looks like rain.
You know, and then you have the, you know, the phone company. I got three lines, which the average home, yeah, I might as well just go, ring, Sadie, yeah, could you get me Mount Pilot? They gotta have some chick sitting there with one of those, like the Mother Goose shoes, and she's got the bun on her head, and she has the little thing that comes around the mouthpiece, like the McDonald's mouthpiece thing, and she's plugging in things that don't go anywhere. Just like that Lily Tomlin character, and she's you know, going to send me out to hell and back. Who knows where I'm going, man? 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget the best of Bobby Dooley, our Bobby Dooley Thanksgiving Day Marathon. Thanksgiving Day and Friday. What are the dates of Thanksgiving? What's the dates? 22, 23, 24, 25th and 26th. This week, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, my name isn't important, folks, but what I have to say is every year people go and buy their kids brand new puppies and kitties for the holidays. I would just like to remind you that there are many beautiful animals at your local shelters and pounds.
Hey, you get out of your cage.
Don't forget to go to your local pound this holiday. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. I'm telling you.
Was that, I think that was Tuglug, my old retriever that I had to put in the pound. Sorry, Tug. I never put a dog in the pound that was alive. Let me put it that way. I used to work for the animal hospital. I put a lot of them in there that were dead. I mean, frozen, you know. Well, I don't want to go into it. Someday, maybe I'll put it all on my website for you sick bastards. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. On Thursday and Friday, we'll have our Bobby Dooley Marathon. And I would like you to also note that in our souvenir shop, we have the best of the Phil Henry Show CD, which is called Fahrenheit 2004. What did I call it? Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. It's our best of the year 2004. And all of the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And I got an amazing email from those guys last week that I will not divulge the contents of it, but you'll find out about it very soon. Something they're going to do for me. I can't believe it. I mean, they're really nice people over there, and they've wanted to give me awards and honor me, and that's not really what I'm about, you know. I would just like to make sure that people buy the CD and that you guys get enough bread so you can keep expanding the facility and help these kids that are living on the streets, right? But they did kind of offer something last Friday that I said, you know what, I'll take you up on that. And it was a check for $3 million, and I'm going to cash it? No, it wasn't that. But if it was, how can you turn that down, huh?
Hey, tomorrow night, Dean Wheeler will be with us. Dean is a Northern California alternative health specialist, and he'll be talking probably some kind of touchy-feely stuff. I don't know what. Probably some kind of herbal science, something you can take. How many of you guys got this cold? Are you shoving all that herbal crap into you, huh? Everybody I know has got this cold, except for me. I don't have it, and the reason why I don't have it, tequila! Yeah!
Woo! You drink so much that it kills the bugs.
That's right, bud. I drink so much it kills the bugs.
You say like you're proud of it.
I don't drink that much, you jackball. But I can tell you what, a little bit of the old hair that, whatever the hell it's called, the hair of the dog, the something. Anyway, everybody I know has come down with this viral infectione, this chest cold thing. And what are they taking? They're taking all of their NyQuil. And you got everybody that tells you the same thing, right?
Oh, you should take echinacea. Also, garlic.
It don't help when your throat feels like it's on fire. Are you crazy? Make sure you take your vitamin C.
Too late now, man. I'm full in the throes of this cold thing, right?
I'm just talking about the poor people I see around me suffering. And Mark, my engineer, he was out like 2 days last week. He's been hacking his guts up. Now, he's got a whole week off. There's only one place to go, baby, and that's somewhere dry, man. I don't know where that is. Down south, maybe? Out to the desert? Out there to, what's the place out there in Arizona? Sedona? Go out there and bake it out of you. But I just love these people.
Are you taking your echinacea and your vitamin C and your St. John's wort, which sounds disgusting,
and all of these other things that you can get over there at the health food store? You see all these people going up and down the aisle looking at their herbal shampoos and stuff. I mean, I got nothing against that. I'm sure it's all, I'm sure it probably won't give you cancer. That's the best thing I can say for half of that stuff. Plus, I like the salad bar they have over at Whole Foods. Okay? But you ain't going to tell me I'm taking all that vitamin B12 that somehow, you know, I'm not going to get sick. Dude, it has to do with the immune system. I get it. But the thing you got to do more than anything else is keep a good positive attitude. And don't let that thing take root in you. Like, in other words, this is what happens to most people. Oh, man, I'm getting a cold. Wrong, man. You don't say it. I'm feeling under the weather, but I'm not sick. Don't ever say I'm sick. Don't ever do that. Say, it feels like I'm getting that cold, but you're not sick. And you got to work through it. If you go to work and you just say, I'm just, you know, kind of sloughing it off, man. It's cool. It's just adds a little bit of sniffles. The minute you say you're sick, then you're dead meat. Because that's your whole mind has just wrapped itself around the whole sick thing, right? I got to do that in what I do for a living because I use my freaking voice for what it's worth. I get a cold and I lose my voice. I lose my ability to make a living. I lose my ability to actually go out there and bring home the bacon for my family. I would never once think of screwing with my voice.
Don't you smoke?
Anyway, shut up, bud.
Not to mention all the heroin you do and the...
And I... Heroin. The only thing that's... Heroin to me is a woman in a novel. In a Charlotte Bronte novel.
Dare say.
So, but, you know, my house, take the energy. Have you know this energy? Do you guys taking this energy? What's it called? Energy C or C Energy C, I think is what it's called. It comes in a little envelope and it tastes like lemonade and you put it in the water and you're supposed to kick the crap out of any cold you get. Bull crap. Doesn't work. Let me tell you the best thing you can take. If you're in the full throes of a cold and you still want to go to work, go home and dump two envelopes of Theraflu into a cup of boiling water. Two envelopes. Now, it'll feel like you've just smoked angel dust, but I'm telling you, it's not bad. Now, I like that Theraflu because the stuff knocks your ass out, you feel better, you get rid of the cold, and you can go to sleep. It's great. That's the only thing that works for me.
Two envelopes.
But the other thing, too, is a shot of whiskey in boiling water and lemon juice. Man, that's all you need. That'll knock the hell out of it, too. But you go over to that health food store and you start taking half of that stuff. I don't know if it works or if it doesn't. I think vitamins are probably good for you. I knew a guy one time took so much beta-carotene, freaking guy was the color of an orange. I mean, he turned orange. The only thing that happened, and he still got a cold. I saw him that winter. He's all sick. I said, what happened, man? You were orange and everything. I know I was orange. Well, you took all the right stuff. Yeah, I know. Still got sick, though, huh? Yes. Other guys like you, Henry, yeah, you're burning the candle at both ends. How the hell do you not get sick? Every year I got, like, maybe one freaking cold, but, you know, I don't give it any power, man. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Don't give it the power. Hold on for a minute. Yeah, David?
Are you going to just talk for the rest of the half hour? I was just wondering. Are you just going to talk?
We already did a bit with Bob Green, and I did some other... Why?
I just want to know, because you said it was cold in there, and I wanted to know if the guys could go in and work.
David...
Are you going to be talking?
I wanted to do a few rants.
Okay, guys, go ahead.
I wanted to just talk about some stuff.
You said it was cold in there, and we got to fix the heater, so we're fixing it.
Look at me, can I... What I wanted it.
You guys make sure those guys in there fixing it?
Yeah, they're in here doing something.
Well, you said it was too cold and you needed the heater fixed. I think no time like the present.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was... What are they going to do, man? Are they going to take the whole freaking building apart to do this?
I don't know, maybe.
And then put it back together again. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tonight, tomorrow night, Dean Wheeler joins us. Who else? Who's the other guy we're going to have tomorrow night? All right, Dean Wheeler will be on for sure. He is the Northern California alternative health advocate, who I'm sure will have some kind of imbecilic concept for us to kick around. That'll be tomorrow night on the Phil Henry Show. And, of course, on Thursday and Friday, the Bobby Dooley Marathon, as you enjoy Thanksgiving weekend. Now, police have identified the slob that threw that beer in the Indiana Pacer-Detroit Piston game the other night. You know, the big brawl that you've been hearing so much about. This was a huge fight sparked by, in my opinion, a fan throwing a beer. Now, understand that there was a on-court fight between two players, one of whom was this guy Artest. Now, what's this guy's first? Ron Artest of the Indiana Pacers and one other player with the Detroit Pistons. The two of them got into it. Then the referees broke it up. Things seemed to be simmering down. Yeah, the coaches got out on the floor. It happens. Artest went over to the scorer's table and laid on his back in sort of mock relaxation, as players will do. And that is when he was hit with this beer. The beer was thrown by a man by the name of John Green of West Bloomfield, Michigan. This guy Green has got a list of prior offenses. 2003, he was arrested. He was convicted for operating under the influence of liquor or operating while visibly impaired. So I guess it was driving while under the influence of alcohol. 1989. So we got to go all the way back to 89. Assault with intent to do great bodily harm, less than murder. Hoo-hoo! Then in 1989, an escape from prison. In 1986, carried a concealed weapon. And in 1986, uttering and publishing, which is using a false, forged, altered, or counterfeit record, deed, or instrument to injure or defraud. So in other words, the guy's a real dirtbag. Any guy that's been inside, then tried to escape, then comes out and doesn't even try to go straight, but winds up with an assault rap and also a DUI, as far as I'm concerned, he's like a piece of crap. So this guy was the guy that threw the beer. Now the cops want to talk to him. If you want my opinion, personally, which I'm sure nobody really wants, otherwise, why would they turn into a talk station, though, bud, if they didn't want my opinion?
Yeah, no kidding, you idiot.
Don't call me an idiot.
Well, what do you think? Of course they want your opinion, you douche.
Douche, huh? Why, you little... Call me that? Anyway, so I guess you do want my opinion. The whole thing starts with this guy and ends with this guy. Forget about the players. The players went up into the stands. They shouldn't do that. They got fined. But to suspend these guys, and I guess the NBA is going to do what the NBA is going to do, but You got to keep these fans from going nuts. One of these days, one of them's going to kill somebody. And I ain't kidding you. And I'm not putting an idea in anybody's head, man. Believe me. Cops know it. The teams know it. Probably other fans know that there's some screwball loose up in the stands someplace that's going to do something really bad one of these days. And guess what? That's the last time anybody will ever see a live sporting event. It'll all be on television, and you won't be allowed within 3 miles of the arena. It'll all be just on or the people that they do let in there will all be pre-screened like studio. Hey, look, who do they let into those game shows? Like the Bob Barker Show, all that crap? Don't they got to screen them for guns, bullets, weapons, knives? Otherwise, one of them is liable to lunge at Bob Barker. Stick a shank in Bob's back while he's spinning that wheel. All right, let's see who has the... What? What happened to Rod Roddy? Didn't he get knifed? I'm sorry, that was very bad. And of course he didn't. Rod Roddy has passed on, a great man. John Green of West Bloomfield was caught on tape throwing his cup of beer onto Indiana Pacer Rod Artest. The act sent Artest into a rage. He went up into the stands where players and fans then fought during the game between the Pistons and Pacers. Apparently this guy Green stepped aside and let another guy take the punch. Some other poor bastard took the shot from Artest. This guy Green says that he was going to speak to the police. According to the Oakland County prosecutor up there in Michigan, I think that's what escalated the whole situation. We're certainly wanting to interview that individual. That individual knows who he is. I suggest he turn himself in to be questioned by the Auburn Hills Police Department. They were able to locate Green and have questioned him regarding the incident. He could face charges and lose his season tickets at the Palace. Anybody who throws a cup or a punch, including players and fans, should face criminal charges. One fan in particular the police want to identify is the person who threw a chair into the crowd. Police are reviewing video from a fan who snuck a camera into the game. Police have interviewed 9 witnesses. Hey, wait a minute. They got to arrest that fan for sneaking the camera into the game, but first they want to look at the film that he took. Thank you very much. You're a great citizen. Thank you. Now you're under arrest. Thank you very much. Boy. What a bunch of schmuck. You guys must really take me for a chump. Yes, we do. Thank you for your camera. It's like one time, you know what's great about cops? If you walk up to a cop and you say, "Officer, I have information." If you see cops that are investigating a crime, let's say, and you know maybe you have some information, walk up to a cop and say, "Officer, I have some information." Say, "Oh, really, do you? And what is your name?" The first thing he's going to think is you're one of the guys that did it. Well, it's not the first thing he's going to think, but he's got to, what do they call it, rule out the possibility? Walk right up to the guy. Yeah, and the next thing you know, you're stuck there for a half hour answering all of his questions. Now, where were you when, well, wait a minute, I just want to, I know that, where do you live? All right, so they look at this guy's camera. They've interviewed 9 witnesses who claim they were assaulted by one of the Pacers. Oh, my ass. Assaulted by one of the Pacers. I think everybody who says they were hit by one of those guys in the Indiana Pacer uniform, probably those guys started the fight. Witness Joe Hampton said he's a season ticket holder. He was about 10 rows away from the incident. I didn't have the instinct necessarily to take off. It was just so shocking, you just kind of freeze. This happened fast and was kind of surreal and all that other baloney. See, people go, well, why are you dumping on the fans, Phil? Because I've been to so many sporting events over so many years. I've never had a problem with a player. I've had plenty of problems with jackasses sitting around me. That's why I'm taking off on the fans. I'm not interested, man, in hearing one more person criticize players and their behavior. I get it already, okay? I understand that these guys are overpaid. I understand that they're doing nothing for a living. I'm the first guy to tell you this. In fact, it was something I talked about a lot. You know, players don't deserve any more respect than anybody else just because they do what they do. I mean, you know, Michael Jordan, he ain't no hero to me. You know, like that, what's that song by Public Enemy? Elvis was a hero to some, but he didn't mean blank to me. Well, that's how I feel about Michael Jordan. He's a hero to some, but he doesn't mean squat to me, right? However, that having been said, some of these people that go to ball games, man, I wish they'd arrest half of them. I bet you the cops could do the world a big favor if they just arrested half of everybody. All right. So every other person's going in. What are you talking about? You must have done something. You're all going in. Have a nice day. And then the next guy, like going to Mexico. You ever had to push that button? And if it turns red, they search your bags. Why? You don't know. I think that's what they should do. You walk into a sporting event, push a button. It turns red, man, you're under arrest. And they arrest half of the crowd, man. And I bet you if they do that, we could probably solve the Kennedy assassination, what happened to Amelia Earhart, and who shot J.R., and the O.J. shooting, and we'll get to the bottom of whether it was a satanic thing with the Lacey Peterson case. Just bust half the slobs that go to NBA games. Oh, yeah, and they'll finally get to the bottom of who's buried in Grant's tomb.
Grant.
It's a joke.
I get it.
It's a joke. You don't have to get it. You're a moron.
Turd.
Grant. Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, available on our website, and with, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving around the corner. Look, why don't you make life a little easier for yourself? If you want to do some Christmas shopping, stop by our website. Go into our souvenir shop. We have got aprons. We've got robes for the ladies. We have coolers. We have a gardening kit. We have shot glasses and coasters and baseball hats and bowling shirts. Man, we got more things than you could possibly imagine at the Phil Henry Show Souvenir Shop at www.philhenryshow.com. We got great turnaround time. You'll get it by Christmas. Hey, check it out. It's our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. Bobby Dooley's Marathon Thanksgiving Weekend.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449.